You are now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are listening to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's everybody feeling out there this Monday?
Great, great, great.
Fabulous.
Yeah, man. Listen, if you are listening to my voice, we are live every Monday at Blends 2 over here in Hayteville. That's 632 South Central Avenue. We invite you to come join us. We have a great time. Everything kicks off. Doors open up at 7 o'clock, and we party until they put us out the damn building. And we have a good time. It's good vibes. It's good people. And always good conversation. So once again, I encourage you to come out to Blends 2 at 632 South Central Avenue in Hayteville and come kicking it with the Commissioner's crew. Joining me today, I got a bunch of good guys. I got a bunch of guys that I always see, and I see them doing good, and I congratulate, I support, and we do the same thing with each other, because around here is like the Commissioner's Conversation. We want everyone to win. Everyone networks with each other so that if I can introduce you to him or I can introduce you to her and you see them later on, whether it's on social media or out in the streets, you rock with them in some way, shape, form, or fashion so that we can all come up together, because it's plenty of money out here. So it's plenty of money, it's plenty of opportunities out here, so I always want us to be in this together and get rid of that negative, that hate, that stereotype of the crab in the barrel. And this is one thing that I'm glad to see that I have you. One, DJ Bing, how are you in the bit? I was introducing you a little earlier, and I was like, damn, he must be part Jamaican.
Hey, what's happening, man?
So, yeah, like, with all that you're doing, mm-hmm. you are, like I said, you DJing. You got the mixes coming out mm-hmm. every week, all platforms. Mm-hmm. You got the kids that you coaching the kids. You're teaching the kids, mm-hmm. and you're being a positive role model out here in these streets. Like, I want to just commend you for what you have going on, and I'm excited that you invite me into and open up to for some of the things you have going on. You say, hey, I got this going on, and whatever I can help in any situation, I try. Mm-hmm. So, like, talk about, like, kind of like the beginning of the journey of how did you get in this? I want to call it a service industry, but it is a service industry, and where you're looking out for you're a man of the people.
Right. Check. What's up again?
Get me in trouble, bro.
Introducing myself again, DJ Bing in the streets, but my government, as you know, is James Bing. I'm currently a teacher in DeKalb County by day. Also a baseball coach in DeKalb County, and a father, you know what I'm saying, a mentor. And I just believe in that reaching back, helping kids is going to help me in the long run, because, you know, as we get older, the kids are going to be the ones that's going to be taking care of us along, you know, a little bit later on in life. I got into the teaching profession actually through coaching. I started out, you know, coaching little league sports.
Okay.
And, you know, once you get kind of close to the kids and they invite you to come to their school and to different events and, you know, going around schools, I kind of noticed that there was only a few male teachers around, you know. And then actually the school that my kids were in, it was only like two males in the building. And, you know, just going around. And at that time, I was looking at a career change. And I said, well, you know, let me look into this. And so I kind of did some research and, you know, see what I can do to, you know, at least test the water. So I started off by substituting.
Okay.
And, you know, one thing led to another. You know, went to school, got additional degrees and started teaching.
And that's big, man. Like you said, you look around at a lot of these schools and there aren't a whole lot of male figures. Mm-hmm. Like throughout the school, like And it's been that way for a while, but like, I think it goes understated how important having a male figure is, like, to where young men, especially young black men, can see someone that they can look up to, whether you have that father figure at home or not. Mm-hmm. But just to have someone to keep you on a structured pattern, somebody that knows you, that can talk to you and kind of keep you on the straight and narrow, kind of say, hey, man, listen, I know what you do on a day-to-day basis, but what you're doing today, you're a little off. How are you? Is everything going on at the house? Or, hey, you acting out the past couple months. This ain't you. You know, you need to kind of get right. Like,
it
gets understated a lot of times because we just take for granted, like, that black men, almost in society, they're trying to teach us that black men aren't necessary.
True.
And that's by a design, but I applaud you again because, like I said, you coming out and you're seeing the need and you're filling the void and doing your part. And when you have these kids and you're growing them, and because you're in the elementary school, you're teaching in elementary school. Right.
Yeah, and coach high school.
And coaching high school. Mm. Now, explain that transition, because I know that's a different switch that you have to go where you're talking to 8-9-year-old kids, and then you have to talk to 15-16-year-old kids.
Yeah. It's a difference. It's still kind of some of the same principles, you know. More so the tone that you have to use, some of the language you have to use. But one of the main things that I've learned over the years is really and truthfully have to listen to. If you listen, you know, that, you know, if there's an issue, they'll let you know indirectly what's right. going on. And I listen, and, you know, I just give them words of encouragement. And I tell them, I say, well, you know what? I didn't necessarily grow up wanting to be a teacher, so you could talk to me, you know. And, you know, I just listen and give them words, get them advice, give them scenarios, tell them about, you know, achieving goals, and just, you know, just listening. Listening is a big part of what's going on with some of these kids, you know. Because I look at it, and I say this often, is that we start school anywhere between 7 and 8 o'clock, well, middle school around 9. So you have these kids from 7, let's say, to 3. If they're athlete, a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know what that kid is going through from 3 until you see them that next morning.
Right.
So, you know, sometimes you kind of have to take that approach that, you know what, let me see what's going on with this kid. There's something underlying here. Let me see, you know, let me see what's going on. Let me see how I can help. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're there for. You know what I'm saying? To get them the tools that they're going to need to survive in this society.
And that's big because in a society like today, everybody is so focused on themselves that nobody has time to focus on the kids. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of these teachers, they're just trying to survive. They're trying to get it to where when the bell hit, I'm out of here. You know what I'm saying? I'm out and they your problem. No, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. So it's good that you have that extra idea of you have that extra caring, you know what I'm saying? You give that extra effort to care because a lot of teachers don't. They're just trying to get, they're looking at the watch every 30 minutes trying to see when it's time to check out. Because, like I said, you said it earlier, just listening. Mm-hmm. Listening is something that doesn't happen for all ages. It doesn't matter if someone, whether you're 7 years old or whether you're 17 years old, those are very important ages to have someone where you can sit down, you can talk to, and just say, hey, listen, this is what's going on with me. And have an honest answer be presented to you. Mm-hmm. Not something that's saying, oh, I think you should do this because that's what the book says. Page 32
right.
says you should give this, you know, this answer, this standard answer, but a real life answer by someone who's lived real life. So yeah, again, man, I applaud it and I salute you because it's not done enough.
True.
It's not done enough, and we don't require each other to do it enough. One of the things we want to do is hold each other accountable in terms of what we do in these streets. A lot of times people complain about the police or whatever, but if you're not going to police your own neighborhood, you can't complain about the police policing your neighborhood. So just kind of big on accountability. But just moving it up to like now, coming up, and now you see these opportunities that a lot of these young men, because you're coaching baseball, and you're seeing a lot of these kids that are getting involved in sports. A lot of the stuff wasn't around when I was around playing basketball. Like a lot of these, yeah, we had AAU, but, you know, it wasn't like today. You know what I'm saying? We had baseball. Kids played baseball. I played baseball. It wasn't like today. It wasn't, nobody ever came to me and said, you know, we're going to play baseball in January. Because that was football time. That was football. That was basketball. You know, we weren't doing it. And now you have all these different outlets, man. And I do want to ask you this. They talked to Deion Sanders on whatever platform. I'm not sure which one it was. Well, he basically said black kids have been priced out of baseball because of, like, the year-round baseball, the expensive bats, the expensive trips, all of this, and then the family want to travel with the team. You got these hotel rooms. And people look, I said it before, and then somebody came back and was like, are you sure? Like, you know, like listen, bro, this is a thing. Like, do you see to where you have a lot of young men with potential, but they just can't do that much, that extra effort to get maybe where I could get from, I'm right here on the cusp of getting a scholarship to whatever school, whether it's a small school or whether it's a big school, I'm right here on the cusp, but because I don't get that extra work, then I can't take that extra step.
In baseball and in a lot of these sports now, travel ball, club ball, as some people call it, has grown. I've seen it grow even when from my time in coaching rec sports into actually going into the travel ball circuit. And what it did was it took away from going to your local recreation center and playing, where you know, you have 10 to 15 teams in an age group and you pay your fee and you play amongst each other. It took away from that. Now you paying anywhere from $1,500 to $4,000 or $5,000 just to play a summer league.
Yeah. You know? I remember when my son was 8, maybe 9 years old. I only think he was 9. We were playing, he was on the team, standard rec team. We were playing over in Sandtown. And, he's getting his wits about him, you know, starting to understand the game a little bit. And one of the coaches came and said, man, yeah, you know, we're going to come out. And we play, you know, basically saying playing club ball. We're going to be $1,600, you know, for the winner. And then you got to have these, we're going to have the bats. Everybody, your bat be uniform. We have these cleats, and the cleats be uniform, and the bat cost $300, and the cleats cost about $200. And I'm like, bro, he 9. You know what I'm saying? He 8 years old, 9 years old. Like, you want me to put together, like he training to go pro tomorrow.
Yeah, and, you know, I know of parents that have taken it so serious that they've taken out loans to participate in on a certain team.
See,
so that's where you see, as what Deion said in his article or interview. Yes, you know, some of our inner city youth kids have been priced out.
Right,
whereas they playing T-ball start 3-4 years old. Mm-hmm. Once they get to around that 7-8. When, you know, travel ball really kicks in serious, you know, you got to make that decision. Am I going to still play, taking it serious because, quote unquote, travel ball is, going to make a difference, or am I going to continue playing rec ball,
So with that, like, have you seen, like, no, working with kids that are probably that are in the elementary school age and then coming up to the high school age, to where kids are playing, have you seen the burnout? Because I've seen kids, especially in football, like I've seen a lot of kids who start off playing football 5, 6 years old, and you at the park and you hitting and you're going through. And then by the time that you 17, 18 years old, about junior, senior in high school, people expecting you, if you're pretty decent, people are expecting you to make a name for yourself. They're expecting you to go to the next level. They're expecting you. Hey, don't come in with all that, man.
What's up?
Hey,
man. I've been on tequila.
Hold on. We live. We on now. We going up.
I've been on tequila. I've been on 1800. But I'm from God doing 4600, bro.
This is my guy, Jay Reeske. Jay Reeske, part of the Commissioner Crew. Jay Reeske, if you don't know, has his own line of cigars.
Okay.
Man,
all right.
I'm from Clark, Atlanta. I'm from Cottage Park, bro.
But he threw me off.
I'm sorry, bro. I apologize, bro. Yeah. Hey, nice to meet you, my brother.
You too, huh?
But yeah,
you're talking about the burnout.
Yeah, have you seen that burnout? Because I knew dudes, man, who were playing football 5, 6 years old, getting hit, hitting, doing all of the above. And then when it came time to go to college, they went to college because they were supposed to. Mm-hmm. Well, they went to college to play because they were supposed to. They wanted to go to college and get the college experience, but they went to college and played football just because they felt like it was the thing they were supposed to do, not because they felt like they still loved the game.
Yeah, I've seen it. And that's where parenting come in. You know, with how things are structured as far as in these sports, whereas it's that, you know, I call it the main three: football, baseball, basketball in the city. You know, you got other things that are coming up now, like lacrosse is kind of coming up a little bit. Soccer is popular,
right?
It's but coming. You know, we're talking about, you know, urban, in on the urban side of things, you know, you're talking about the main three,
right?
So yes, I've seen some, but again, like I say, that's where parenting come in, because you still need to let a kid be a kid. You know, you have to let them go out there and ride a bike. You know, sometimes, you know, go swimming. You know, and just do the kid thing. Yeah, I understand you're trying to hone the craft, but that's where you get that potential burnout.
And that's what. When I, like I said, I always reference, I can only reference me because, you know, I lived through that. You played baseball, you played basketball, you played football. You didn't specialize until you got to a level where they said, okay, you separate yourself from the other individuals in this sport. And so that may be why, okay, you can throw 100 miles an hour pitch. You might need to go ahead and don't worry about track. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You're throwing 100 miles up. Yeah.
you can run this for three. You don't need to worry about, you know, doing some of this other stuff. Like, you don't worry about basketball. But yeah, we had that, man. And now it seems like as soon as you get to showing a little bit of being a standout, you specialize. And it don't matter how old you are. You can be 7, 8 years old. And now they tried, like I said, they put it year round. How do you know? You could be the world, you could be the next Steph Curry, but if you play baseball year round, we don't know.
Right. And see that, and that's another thing too. When we were younger, we played year round, but we played football. Then we went into basketball. Then we went into baseball. So you know, you didn't really. Once you got to high school, mm-hmm. you kind of made a decision, okay, right. Well, this is going to be my route. Whereas now, you know, they're starting at 6, 7 years old, playing baseball year-round, playing basketball year-round. So as a kid at that age, yeah, it's potential for burnout by the time they get to middle school even. You know, because you figure, I was talking to someone, son playing basketball. His son is about 9, I think. And they this summer, they were playing 65 games for a 9-year-old in basketball.
And that's a lot, dog, because we were just I was just talking to somebody. We were talking about, like, how kids are getting injured. And they're talking about all these injuries and what's going on in terms of players' durability. And I say a lot of times it starts on these lower levels because you're playing, like I said, basketball. You're playing 65, 70 to 100 games damn near sometimes depending on which tournaments you go to that year. And same with baseball. You go to some of these tournaments, man, and you play 3 baseball games in a day. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You play up to 10 to 12 games in a weekend. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if a guy's throwing, you know, you're going to have kids, young men are having Tommy John surgery earlier. Basketball players are having knee injuries, ankle injuries, lower body injuries a whole lot sooner than it usually has happened. And then then the media looks at you like you're not doing what you're supposed to do because you're breaking down. Oh, you're not putting the money in your body. You're not doing what LeBron doing. LeBron take $5-10 million and put in his body. Everybody's not making the LeBron money.
There it is.
So yeah, I think it's crazy, man. Like for us to look at a kid and think investment instead of think child, because I think that's what's happening too. A lot of parents are thinking, oh, okay, I can send them to this place, I can send them to that camp, I can send them to this personal trainer. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking investment instead of thinking, this is my child, and I'm supposed to show him how to grow and learn the right way.
Right. Yeah. Prioritizing athletics and education.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's an emphasis more on athletics
right.
than education, which sometimes get blurred because what some don't understand is that, yeah, you look good on the field, but at the end of the day, they're going to have to see how you do on the books to get you into that school.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now, you have your drop in the bucket 2 to 3 that, like you say, throwing 95 miles mm-hmm. an hour or hitting it 400 feet. That get the opportunity from high school to the pros. But that's just 2 out of 1 million.
Right.
You know? So you have to understand that balance and let athletics possibly just be a segue. But keep education as a priority. Because a lot of times what they don't realize is that even with travel or club ball, yeah, the scouts come and see you, but they go to those schools and talk to those teachers and coaches because you're paying your money to play for this guy, mm-hmm. so you can act the fool out there, you know. But how you act inside that building with right. those teachers, how you discipline yourself on things that you have to do, you know. So,
and I'm going to open it up a little bit because I know we got some people other people that I want to introduce. Mm-hmm. But I do want to ask you this, like, what is your advice for some of your players who are coming up that are right on that cusp? Like, now you have different ways of getting paid outside of just the professional ranks. Mm-hmm. Like, I was talking to Kara a little earlier. We were talking about people being able to make money off your name, image, and likeness. Mm-hmm. These NIL agreements that come across, like, how are you coaching or preparing an individual for a name, image, likeness deal? Or is that only so few and far between for an assigned few? Like, is that only for the star athletes right now? And then it trickles down, or is it something that everyone should pay attention to?
Well, it's still new.
Right.
And it's an opportunity, yes, as far as getting paid for your name, image, and likeness. It's an opportunity, but I would advise any person that is approached by to do your research, because you know, going through agents and going directly to whoever might give you an offer sometimes can put you in a situation where you might not be able to do what you want as far as schooling, or something else come your way. You might be locked in to someone that's giving you, let's say, $100, whereas you have $1,000 over here on the left.
Right.
But you can't do it because you got locked in on that. So first of all, I would say let someone who's legal, in that legal jargon, that knows it, to read up on it. Because there's still a lot of intricacies in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's still new. It's still changes coming. But be careful. And I would say go to school and shine.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's right, it'll come your way.
There you go. So, once again, I want to open it up. Like I said, Kerry, if you can, I kick it. We was over here. We were topping it up. You got that mic. So, he was giving us his advice. Bing was giving us his advice on the whole. Make sure your mic on. Hit the advice on the NIL agreements. You know, because I know you were sharing a couple posts with me about, basically one of the posts was, you know, a young man actually was making more money to go to college than to be and go to the professional league.
Played for North Carolina this year. He didn't come out the draft. He felt like he was better than a lot of the kids that were in the draft. And because he was already on the NIL wave, he had a couple endorsements already going. He's playing at North Carolina, you know, an elite premier school. It was just as beneficial for him to, you know, not be number two, you know, be in the second round of the draft, to stay in school, still can make a little money. And yep. I think that starts with his mom. His mom is a banker or something. If I'm not sure, you have to look back at the article. But she was the one that was guiding him and explaining to him, weigh it out. Look at where you're at. Look at where you're going to be at. Barring an injury, you're still going to make it to the pros. You have more control over your future if you do it this way versus just throwing it up into the wind to see where it falls, where you fall in the draft. And I think our kids that succeed are going to be the ones that have that guidance, have that parental figure, have that person that's not trying to take advantage of them, because we all know, you know, how old dads come in the picture, and uncle, let uncle get you this deal.
Put the ball in your hand.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And you see that in an extent, even in the current NBA, you know, when you have some of these players, family members that are so close and controlling over their business, like Kawhi Leonard's people, you know what I'm saying, and things like that. So, and that can be a good or bad thing, but at least they're involved, you know what I'm saying? I think the kids that don't have any kind of involvement are going to be the ones that blow through their entire contract, you know, get hurt, they're out the league a couple years later, you know, talking about the, you know, about the start of Wingstop or something.
Well, I think what I don't want to see happen is a lot of these leagues, whether it's football, with the NFL, NBA, or Major League Baseball, I don't want some of this to turn into like the music industry where, like you said, if you know, you know. If you got good representation and they know what to ask, they know to ask the right questions in terms of a name, image, likeness when you go to college. And if you know, you know. But if you don't know, you're just walking in blind to a situation where somebody can easily take advantage of you, or the school could take advantage of you, because there are rules where the school can redirect some of your money. Mm-hmm. It just depends on which school you go to. It depends on which state the school is in, things like that. But I don't want it to be one of those, if you know, then you know. If you don't know, then you out here subject to be at risk for being broke before you get started, or being in debt before you get started. Mm-hmm. So with that, like, there has to be some kind of education channel. Like, I don't know. Like I said, with it being so new, mm-hmm. I don't know what the vetting process is for an agent. Mm. I don't know what the process is. If you have an agent, what are the rules? Because college didn't allow agents. But now all of a sudden they're going to have to allow agents because you can't directly talk to the dude that owns the Ford dealership and then the dude that owns the chicken spot and all. You know, you can't directly negotiate these businesses and contracts. So you have to have a go-between. And so that means there needs to be some type of class or some type of study, like something there for the young man, young woman to be in place so where they have their best interest at hand.
Now, I know that some schools do now starting more so this year. A couple of schools had it in place last year, whereas incoming students, be it freshmen, be it transfers, were set down with experts or people to kind of give them financial literacy in those areas. So I know they are trying to put things in place. But yet again, like you say, sometimes them agents get to you before.
Right, right. Well, know. And that's because we talked about the travel clubs and all that stuff and the year-round sports, the AAU circuit, all of this stuff. Those dudes are there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Those dudes are in the building, and they know who the best 9-year-old is. You know, it sounds funny. Like I was talking to a guy, and he was saying, yeah, man, my boy was telling me his son is the best 11-year-old in the state of Virginia. I'm like, 11? You know what I'm saying? In terms of basketball, like, all kind of stuff can happen at 11. You can stop growing in 2 years. Somebody else can start growing in 2 years. People can catch up and pass by you all the time. So the fact that you're telling me you're one of the best 11-year-olds, that has absolutely nothing to do with me. But there are people who take that into stock and say, okay, I'm going to watch him here, and I'm going to watch him here, and I'm going to keep watching him.
Yeah, there are so many different publications, different advertising groups that just go out there and do that. You have some publications where you can actually pay to put your athlete in and, you know, get them recognized.
Right.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they'll rank you, you know, or whatever.
Grab the mic.
I want to piggyback off what you just said, right? Mm-hmm. You just said some people will pay for players, right?
Mm-hmm.
Prime example, the biggest player in college right now is Arch Manning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is riding this man coattail like, yo, he the shit. I had one dude, well, I ain't have him, but shit. You know what I'm saying? One dude came out and said the only reason that he is who he is because the name Manning. But you change his name to Johnson, he'll be a 3-star recruit. You feel me? So what do you feel about shit like that? I mean, because, like, when it comes to these players, like, be honest with you, we could go back to the SMU days back in the 80s with
right.
Eric Dickerson and all
Fred
of them.
James, the Pony
you
Express.
Get what I'm saying? Exactly. Like, they should have been paying them back then.
Well,
but when you look at
they were paying them.
I mean, they were, but it was paying them under the table.
Right.
But when you look at schools like Texas, the Longhorns, they about to come to the SEC. Everybody, they got the biggest like payroll as far as booster club for you know what I mean, their football department, because just that like, football pay for every fucking thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say to your Arch Manning question. I think the kid is good. I've seen a couple clips. I haven't seen him do a whole game workout. I think the kid is good. And yes, by all means, having Manning as your last name absolutely helps. Nepotism in all of this stuff is real. Like,
yeah, they the Kennedys of the next millennium, bro.
So, but I will say this in terms of Arch Manning, is I know he was supposed to be like Georgia was his top three, like Georgia, Texas, and somebody else.
And Alabama.
So, but I will say this. With the way football is moving nowadays, like, what are we requiring our quarterbacks to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, because I saw the old, I'm not old enough to where I saw an actual video, I saw an actual game of Archie Manning, his granddad. Mm-hmm. But the games that I did see, Archie Manning was on the move. Archie Manning was running.
But shit, Commissioner.
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning was cool. T. Mara won the national championship.
But hold up. Today's game requires you to play more like Archie Manning than Peyton Manning. You know what I'm saying? So what are you telling me he play like? Is he a stand-up in the pocket? Matt Stafford, stand here, 6-7-8 drop, throw the ball? Or is he more along the lines of a Josh Allen, where I can get out here and I can roll out and I can move? I don't, like, throwing it against air.
To be honest with you, my bad, bro. I think he played more like Archie / Eli. And the reason
Eli wasn't picking them up and putting them down.
Yeah, but see, Eli could get outside the pocket. And when you look at Arch Manning, like, his daddy was a receiver, he got injured, but
Cooper, yeah.
It's like Cooper, yeah, but like Arch Manning is able to get inside and outside the pocket. That's what separate him from Peyton. Peyton, I feel like, is the white version of Mike Singletary. Because Mike Singletary knew every offense. When you call the offensive play,
I see where you're going with that, you know what I'm saying?
Mike Singletary, like, well, I'm finna get this nigga. Excuse me if you got white folks listening. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna get this nigga. But, like, when you look at a Peyton Manning, it's like, I don't care if you're running a cover two, a cover three, a 4-3, a 3-4, over, whatever. Peyton Manning knew how to pick those defenses apart. So, you get what I'm saying? Like, really, to be honest with you, Arch Manning got some big shoes to fill. Because, like, even at going to Texas, I don't think Texas going to better his skills or whatever. But it's like, when you look at when his granddad at Ole Miss, as well as his uncle was at Ole Miss, his dad was at, they played the best of the best, bro. They was in the SEC.
Well, he's going to be in the SEC, too.
Well, they're going to get their ass whooped by the time he get in there.
Well, but that's relative because, like I said, that's why I asked the question. Texas is now going into the SEC. And so what you have to ask is he more like Archie Manning or is he more like Peyton Manning? Because Peyton Manning was standing in the pocket. The SEC, you see what happened with Nick Saban. Nick Saban ain't trying to have a quarterback that's standing in the pocket. You know what I'm saying? He tried to get these quarterbacks to move. For whatever it's worth at UGA, whether you like Stetson.
Ben, he could get outside the
pocket. He can move outside the pocket. That's where the game is.
But see, I don't think that, like, I think Arch Manning is based off of his name. Because, like, when I was listening to some of the beat writers, it was like, yo, if his name was Johnson, he would have been a 3-star recruit. Because when he had to pair up against teams that was better than the team he was playing up against or whatever, or at the same level of, you know, I guess you could say talent. Experience.
Right. Talent level.
Talent level, exactly. He didn't show up.
Well, I'm...
My bad, bro. No, I'm good. Sorry. You're I'm good. Just no. coming
but let me
all
say,
in.
But let me... I'm going to say this, too. It's kind of on what you're saying and what you're saying. Think about, and this kind of goes back to something that we was talking about earlier. Think about, how old is he, what, 18?
18.
Think about the pressure.
Yeah.
The shoes he got to step in the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Think about that at 18.
Your father was probably, before Drew Brees got there, he was probably the best quarterback in New Orleans Saints history. Mm-hmm. And then your uncle is arguably one of the top 3-4 quarterbacks in NFL history.
You can't throw out Eli.
I was just getting ready to say, Eli got two Super Bowls where he beat Tom Brady twice. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Like,
whereas Peyton got his ass drugged by Brady, Eli beat him twice where it counted. Man, he beat him. He beat him in 08, and he beat him.
Here we go.
Hold on. Oh, we done got some shit. Hey, it's Commissioner. I done got some shit started. Commissioner.
How y'all doing?
What's happening, fam?
Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem with when people say you're going to give Eli credit for those two, right?
Who the quarterback?
As the resident Giants fan here, right? I got you. No, but listen, because everybody seemed to do this to Eli. So the most times they say the first one, right, it was the amazing defense.
Right.
We saw, now watch this. The year prior, they had Tiki Barber. When Tiki Barber left, he said, you'll never win a Super Bowl with Eli Manning. And it was this amazing defense. We seen Michael Strahan and Tiki Barber in a Super Bowl in 2000.
I love the fact that they won after Tiki, because Tiki was on some other stuff.
No, but here's the coldest part about it, right? Here's the coldest part about it. We seen Michael Strahan and Tiki Barber in the Super Bowl in 2000 against the Ravens. They got their ass whooped, mm-hmm. and neither one of them did anything.
Right.
Right? When Eli went in 2007, they say the defense. Cool, we give you the defense. Armani Tuma, we give you all that shit. He had vets. He finally just pulled one out. He snuck, he closed his eyes, he threw the ball. That's what they're going to tell you. Fair. 2011, right?
Right.
He said NFL records for comebacks. He said NFL records for yards in a playoff run. And tell me why this defense was all-time elite. They was ranked 16th in the NFL.
Agreed. Like I'm not an Eli.
I am a Giant fan, so it's biased.
I'm not an Eli basher, but you know what happens? What typically happens with Eli Manning is because people hate Peyton so much. There's a lot of, he gets lumped into that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like once again, if you change the name to Eli Johnson, maybe you got a different dude. We talk about him a different way.
Right.
But because so many people despise Peyton Manning for so long that they despise everything around Peyton Manning.
Right.
And Arch is going to catch some of that too.
And my only question to that, is it just because it's the Manning name? It's just the Manning name.
Well, you got to remember how, you know, the dad was involved in both of them getting drafted.
Well with, number one, with Eli, with saying that he wasn't going to go play for San Diego. Mm-hmm. He said his son refused to play for San Diego, and the only way he would
go to the Giants.
Right. But I want to say, hold up, before we go any further, because I want to get my guy in right fast, man. I've been over here snacking. You know what I'm saying? I want to send a shout out to Chef Coop over here. He got me going over. He got some salmon, some rice. Hold up. I want you to come over and tell me what it is on the salmon, because you got sweet and sour.
Here, chef.
Yeah.
Hey, bro, I'm going to tell you, I love salmon. I don't eat a lot of fish, but I fuck some salmon up. So if you got a whole bunch of toppings that ain't shellfish, holla at your boy.
So,
look at this ugly joker coming in.
So, once again, Coop, I known you, dog, since we talking about 18, 19-year-old kids. 19. I done known you since about 18, 19-year-old.
Yes, sir.
And to watch your transition from, you know, us just growing up being knuckleheads running around, it don't work. The battery dead, yeah, we got it. But for us just running around being knuckleheads, just doing crazy shit on the college campus, to where you are right now, where you're a personal chef, you're at a lot of major restaurants that every time I go, I discover a spot, hell, you there, and you cooking, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm gone.
You know what I'm saying? And then you move on to the next spot. I want to salute you, because like I said, you came out today. You brought, once again, you brought us some samples. My boy Lico Brown just walked in the building, co-host.
What's happening?
I'm going to present you. Lico.
Man, bang about me. Yeah, man.
That's on you. But courtesy of
Chef Coop.
Chef Coop. Before we go anywhere, I want to just say, I want you to plug, I want you to say the name of the Instagram, personal, business, phone number.
No, Jay Reese.
What it can be.
Well, yeah, everybody, Chef Coop. You can hit me on Instagram at ChefCoop23. That's my personal page. Or you can hit me on my business line. That's For the Love of Food. Also, my phone number, 404-593-1145. You hit me up.
It looks good.
We can sling this food all the way around the city now.
It looks good. No,
today's dish, what I made for my boy Commissioner over here, I did some sweet and spicy glazed salmon with some glazed
glazed asparagus, and
I'm
some
trying to gauge your
herb rice.
Oh, and it's dope. Now I'm telling you, it's good. Cousin Matt had some. He over there chilling. And listen, I say it again because it's an honest statement, dog. Like, to watch a progression, I salute it. You know what I'm saying?
Appreciate it.
To watch like the grind of going from the coming up, I'm gonna be
knucklehead at college for
real. I'm gonna be here, I'm gonna be there, and I'm like, oh, okay. Mike right here. Oh, okay. He right here. Oh, snap. And every right time, like you never cease to amaze me, man. So I want to salute you, like I said, and just tell you I'm rocking with you right now. You know what I'm saying, in front of everybody, so that you know I'm putting that stamp on it. So you know, if I'm with it and you rock with me, please go tap in, go check him out.
I know I'm late. What's this?
That's what Can I Kick It. Hold on, we gonna get to that in a second. We're gonna get Carrie on there in a second.
This shit hard,
ain't it? We're gonna get to that in a second.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, once again, I want you to just tell some of the places that you've been, because they might think I'm bullshitting. They might say, oh,
well,
dude, he been over at Longhorns where they just microwaving the food or something, you know.
I've been around the city for a while. I've worked at some of the most major places in the city. I was the executive chef at Morton Steakhouse. I've been the sous chef at the Porter Beer Bar in Little Five Points. I've worked at State Farm, Phillips Arena, when they used to be back called Phillips Arena, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I worked for Wolfgang Puck Catering at the aquarium. Chef de Cuisine at Atlanta Breakfast Club, hotels.
Goodness.
Crazy. I've been traveling chef, worked in New York, Wisconsin, all over the place, New Jersey, Maine, anywhere you think of. I'm trying to get it. My specialty is
fat
food.
Fat boy want to know what's your specialty.
Hey, man, I ain't fat no more. I was 520. God. I'm 137 now, Lico.
Hold on.
In reverse.
Right. He's smart. Did you just say you 137?
In kilos. Kilos.
On one leg. You know what, your other leg, 347.
But answer the question, like, tell him, you said your specialty is food.
No, I'm
food.
Not.
That's why I named my Must company love, called For the no. Love of Food. I got a thing, I love all food. I like to present all food the same way. It's not being a specialty. But if you want to call me anything special, it's the sauce that I put on my dish.
Oh, damn. I like that. You gotta like that. You gotta love that.
But Coop was hooping with us. Coop was hooping too. We was out there, like I was saying, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have him here. Like we was out there. He was with me in the mirror game where we beating the basketball team. They looking crazy. You know what I'm saying?
All day. All day.
So yeah, like it all ties in together, man. And I want you to go ahead once again, give the Instagram, give all the info, because
Chef Coop 23. You hit me up my personal, and once you link up, I can give you my business page and everything like that. So just hit me on the goddamn gram at Chef Coop 23, and we can run it from there.
And you can meal prep, cater your party, event, whatever you need.
Food.
He'll take care of you. You need
all
food.
Of it. All the way around. You.
Exactly.
He the master of food ceremonies.
Right, exactly, that part. So again, though, like I said, I want to come back in with these sports, man. And we were talking about like pressure. Arch Manning has pressure because, yeah, his dad was a football player. Yeah, his granddad was a football player. Yeah, his uncle has a football player. Now, which one of those guys are going to teach him how to handle the pressure as opposed to applying more pressure on him to say, hey, boy, you a man and you got to go out there and slang that. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if you can teach it. I think it got to be, you can only like advise, but you, that person has to stand up in that, man, to be a real QB. You know what I mean? You have to just be bred for it, I think.
Well, he was one of the, supposedly he was the best athlete. I'm not going to say he was the best Manning.
He was the best athlete.
Because it, like, to say that he was an athlete, it's few and far between that we got white receivers. Like, I'm not going to stereotype him and say he couldn't have made it. But I'm going to say the numbers are stacked high against him. Well, he got hurt at Ole Miss. Like, I can't say.
He got hurt at Ole Miss, yeah. But at the end of the day, it's like Eli didn't win one at Ole Miss. And Peyton didn't win one. Peyton didn't win one.
We know the story.
And guess what? I started like Jamal Lewis. He had pretty much the same team.
But you saying what I was saying earlier. Does he play like Archie Manning, who's running around and moving around? Does he play like, or does he play, I said.
He's going to have to play like himself, bro.
Yeah, that's what I was finna say. Because that's what I hope.
Well, but I'm saying, playing like it. What? So if you've seen him, define playing like himself. Can he get out of the pocket? Can he escape a 275-pound man that's run?
That more than
I think he going to get better at it after one of them lay on top of him.
That's why I'm asking
neck.
The question.
Yeah.
Everything I see is against air. I don't see.
He's
right, against
mobile.
Air.
Okay, so. It's hard to say you've seen him against. Don't say you've seen him against real competition. Because high school ain't always. Okay. Right. Right. But
like prime example, if you doing some dirt shit, if you doing dirt, let's say you and Lico doing dirt, Lico get caught, you was with him, you guilty by association.
Right.
And Arch Manning is guilty by association because of the fact that who his granddaddy
right.
and his uncles were.
But now I want to flip that a little bit because we've talked about Arch. Texas already has a quarterback that's there who's a five-star athlete.
Yeah, he sucked, bro.
I mean, he was a – I mean, we might be saying the same about Arch next year. I don't know. But Texas has a high-level recruit who's already there. And if you come in and Arch Manning comes in with this hoopla, we talked about the NIL stuff. If you coming in and you still trying to make a name for yourself and Arch Manning come in, he got Nike, he got Bojangles or Popeyes or whoever was offering some chicken. He got the used car dealership, whatever. Like, all the pressure is now, yeah, it's on him, but it's also on you because now I got to show you that you ain't just coming here and just take my job just because you got a last name.
Yeah, you definitely got to stand.
They ain't got nothing to lose.
But that's the nature of the business.
Because if he do any... Even if all he got to do is average with that last name, he going to get a job.
Yeah, but that's the nature of the business regardless.
Regardless of the thing, that's in anything in college. Your name don't got to be Manning. You play college this year, you get hurt, but you was the number one recruit in the country. Next year, there's the number one recruit in the country coming. Your job on the line.
Right.
That's the nature of the business. I think a lot of people make it bigger because it's Arch Manning. He no different than a five-star that's coming behind you next year.
That's
regardless or not, it was somebody coming out of high school the next year that was that dude.
Especially at a school like Texas.
Especially Texas, Georgia, the
the big boy schools, Bama, think about Bama quarterbacks.
Right.
Ain't none of them been Manning.
But see, that's why, on the list. And you know that a lot of those schools, that's why they have 3, 4, sometimes 5 quarterbacks at a time. And really sometimes more than that.
Yeah.
You know, I can go back. True story. My dad was a college official, referee. Okay. And he was officiating Morris Brown versus Mile College.
Okay.
I never forget. And I was a ball boy, you know, for the game.
Mm-hmm.
And this running back for Miles, he got leveled. Mm. I mean, leveled. He got up, took off his helmet, started unstrapping his stuff, and went and sat down.
Uh-huh.
And they were kind of, he was like, I'm through. And I was looking at it. And then I remember after the game, my dad was telling me, he said.
Made a life decision immediately.
Yeah. My dad was telling me, he said, you know what? That's why they have 4 and 5 running backs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, next man up.
Yeah.
You know, so next man up.
That's a phrase next that we often say that revolves around sports, but we don't really think about it until it has to happen. Mm-hmm. And you look around, you're like, man, well, whether even in professional ranks, dudes get traded, dudes get hurt. Mm-hmm. Somebody decide they don't want to be there, and you're like, damn, we got to figure out how we going to, this 20 points. We're going to figure out the 120 yards or, you know, whatever. We got to figure it out. And it's next man up. But, yeah, you have to, I think going back to college, you have to man up every year because the myth in college, and correct me if I'm wrong because I was led to believe this by a little research that I had done, that college is actually not a 4-year ride.
No.
A college scholarship, when they give you a college scholarship, it's actually not a 4-year ride. It's actually a series of 1-year scholarships that they're giving you. And if you're not...
Performance-based.
Right. If you're not that guy, then you might not be issued another scholarship. Like, just because they issued one in your freshman year, don't mean by the time you get to your junior year,
You'll still be
a part of this team.
And therefore, that's where you need to have done your homework, done your research, and get a clear understanding on what they're offering you. Like in baseball, they don't give too many full scholarships.
Mm.
They only have a certain amount that they give. And a lot of schools give you percentages,
right?
Like 15% of your tuition.
Yeah, they give you a partial.
So you might not get over half. Especially in small schools,
mm-hmm.
you know you get 30%. That's pretty good,
right?
You know, so knowing what you're getting into, understanding what they're offering, because I know. And some schools, when they offering you scholarships, they offer you an athletic scholarship, not necessarily academic. Some schools are offer you an academic scholarship. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's a difference. So academic, you can still kind of go to school or you know, whatever. Those athletic scholarships, they might not fund you to participate in sports. You can maybe try to find a way to get some money to go to school there.
Right.
But yeah, like you say, performance based, year by year, however many semesters they might include in it, which is basically 2, you know, fall and spring. So doing your research, understanding what they're offering you, and get an understanding what kind of school it is, as far as is it a athletic school? You know, like some of the larger, the D1 schools,
right.
They have the funds, you know, so.
And then you have to deal with what kind of coach also, because somebody brought up Nick Saban talking about Alabama a little while ago. Nick Saban was doing some grimy stuff to where he was what they would call a gray shirting a lot of these guys to where if we can only have 5 quarterbacks, I'm going to recruit 6. I'm going to sign 6, and then when all 6 of y'all show up on campus, I'm like, okay, well, we'll do what's called a gray shirt. Well, if somebody leaves, or if something goes wrong with housing, whatever, whatever, you kind of just like in limbo. Mm-hmm. So you over-recruit, you over-sign, and there's no penalty for any of that. So when everybody's looking around like, damn, Alabama got five star after five star, yeah. Because you have some of these coaches who are just don't give a damn, and they're just going to sign and sign and sign and sign. And if you're saying, okay, we winning these championships, I'm not going to transfer because we winning these championships and we going to the league, and you're willing to sit it out, then that's cool. But there's a lot of people like Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara was at Alabama with Eddie Lacy and Derrick Henry.
Yeah, before he went to that JUCO.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then he wound up going to JUCO. He left there, went to JUCO, then got went to Tennessee and came up. Mm-hmm. But if you look at that backfield, like, shoot, I'm behind these monsters. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to see the field.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's good to do your research and homework on – because it's like you say, sometimes, you know, it's a grimy business. Mm-hmm. You know, they're trying to win. At the end of the day, that's their job. They're trying to win, so they're trying to get,
because their contracts are performance based too.
Mm-hmm. So they're trying to get as many as they can, stockpile them. You know, because you know things happen. Life happens too. You know, you got injuries,
right?
You know, and other life things that come up. So. As far as those getting those scholarships, I would say do your homework. And I kind of often cringe when you hear about some students committing early.
Mm.
You know, like Manning. You know, mm-hmm. Their junior year. You know, anything can happen. You know, so and do your homework.
Even with that, like you can commit early and not still be like. So, signing day, I just say this, signing day ain't always like the day that you have to sign. Like, mm-hmm. It's just the first day that you can sign. I had a homeboy who, like, he was doing pretty good. Everything was dope. But he wound up going to a small school. And he was like, he got a couple offers from a couple small schools. He was like, okay, I'm signed with this school. And then 2 days later, recruited from, like, I think it was like Texas A&M, called him and was like, yo, you ain't signed yet, have you? Because we finna give you this scholarship. And he was like, damn, I already put my name on. So I'm going, you know, he wound up going to, like, Wofford or whatever. But, like, he was eager to just sign on signing day.
Sign on signing day.
You know what I'm saying? Just so you could be in the, you had your picture in the newspaper, signing on the dotted line with the coach, instead of just waiting it out, seeing what's going on. And you could have made something. You could have made something else shape. So, real quick though, man, because I see we long on this one. I'm going to let DJ Reese Boogie. I'm gonna let him jump in for about 30 minutes, 20. Well, I won't even say 30 minutes, about 20 minutes, yeah. And then we'll jump back in because I want to get everybody involved and what you know some more discussion in terms of. Some of the stuff going on in the NBA, some of the stuff going on in Summer League, some of the stuff just going on. And like I said, talking about college basketball, college football.
How
college
football long can LeBron sustain?
Oh, here we go.
Greatness.
Here we go. But yeah, I want us to get involved and start talking about a lot of this stuff coming up. And college football season is coming up. Oh. NFL is coming up. I had a dude text me bright and early this morning with a damn meme talking about all the games the Falcons blew last season. And I was like, damn, like you, bro, it's like 7 o'clock in the morning. And this is what's on your mind? And
his algorithm.
He a Washington Commanders fan. So I'm really like, you? You pull this out? You know y'all trash too. So once again, we're gonna get into that on the other
hate
side.
Is real.
Yeah, it is real. We're gonna get into that on the other side, but until then, Reese Boogie.